We began last week to discuss the Inyan of Malchus and Shabbos and the position of the mother, the wife, the woman. Shabbos candles is a big Inyan, it's a very big subject, and I'm not even going to speak about the candles themselves right now, because we really have to go further into this Inyan of Malchus. And what that means, we were talking about Koach and Poal, potential and actual, and the Koach of the woman, Davke, to bring about that meaning and purpose and direction in life, to take that which is potential and diffused and to focus and to bring it Lamaisa, which we've been talking about the last few weeks, is the koach of the woman of Meira es Einav umamidoso araglav, to illuminate the home. But in order to understand this on a deeper level, we have to talk more about the subject of Malchus. It's a very, very big Inyan in Torah, and since really its roots, of course, are in the hidden side of Torah, it's not easy to explain. And if some of the concepts, if I'm repeating or reviewing, it's because of the delicate nature of the Inyan, and my concern that it be properly understood. In the Torah of the Maharal, numbers play a very, very important role. Numbers are very important. In the Torah in general, and in the Maharal's Torah. In Gvuras Hashem, in the 11th parak, the Maharal explains to us what changes when a person goes from single digits, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and crosses over to 10. You know that everywhere else in the world, that means something. Only America has problems with inches and feet and stuff like that. The rest of the world is run by a metric system and counts in such a way. What happens? What changes? The Maharal says that when you cross over from 9 to 10, and of course it would be 99 to 100, 999 to 1,000, but when you cross over from 9 to 10, so something extraordinary happens, he said, that until now I had nine separate individual pieces of reality that had really nothing to do with each other. And through 10, when 10 comes into the picture, then these chalokim, these pieces are mischabrim yachad. They become joined together to create a unit. We're leaving the single digits and entering into a unit, a number that means, 10 means that the 9 are now rallying together to create some cohesive new reality. The Kolzman She'ein Ha'asiri, as long as 10 has not appeared, Hemechulokim Bechalokim, they're divided. The Ha'asiri Hazehu Nivdal Mikol Achalokim La'atzma, the 10th is transcendent, it's special, it's unique. 10 is something special, it's holy, we'll see in a moment. V'huma Achid Es Kulam, and the number 10 has the ability to bring all the other 9 together. Dimyan hanakudah shebe'egol Shuhanivdom Hegel, Atzmo, or Machabres Hegel, similar to the center point in the circle, which holds together all the different points around the circle. That's what he writes in Gevuras Hashem. In Derech Chaim, he explains more. Multiplicity, duality, confusion goes on through the number nine. Goes on and on through the number nine. Omnam ha'asiri hu keneged b'china acheres b'fnei atzma. The tenth, however, the tenth is a completely different level. It's something new. It's something extraordinary. That's why there are 10 levels of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, 10 portions of speech, 10 portions of beauty. 10 always means a koima shleima, something which is whole. Because through the number 10, this is transformed into something that is different. It's not just the sum total of the nine. It's not just the sum total of the parts. There's something different that's been created when we reach the number 10. Therefore, the tenth is holy to Hashem, as that is manifest in Halacha. The tenth is holy. Asiri Kodesh. Hu Kodesh L'Hashem Isbarach. Ki ha'asiri mitzad shehu echad, v'hu mitzad ha'poel shehu echad, ve'elav ro'i ha'asiri. The moral is telling us that somehow, as we're getting more and more confused, moving through those single digits, and each one means something different, the etzadas tovera, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, more and more confusion, each has its own personality, conflicting, clashing with what's before and after. All of a sudden, when you come to 10, the number 10 has the ability to bring together all the other nine and to bring out the latent potential that was hidden in this diffusion of the nine, since there was this separation, this fragmentation. The potential was not activated, but the tenth has the ability to bring everybody together, to bring out min hakoach el hapoel, this tenth is Malchus, even though you know that Malchus, of course, is seven, which is Shabbos, but I mentioned this last week, that there are two ways, of course, to count. If you include Chochma Bin Adas, if you include Chabad, those are the highest three levels of reality. But the lower seven, Chesed Gvur Tiferes Netzach Haid Yisayd and Malchus. So from the highest Madrega, from the highest level of the thought within a thought, to the most practical level of actual reality, which is Malchus, it is a koma, it is a koma shleima, it is a unit of 10. And until you get to Malchus, until you get to Shabbos, we don't have that cohesiveness. We have separation, the Alma de Piruda, we have confusion. Now the reason this is called Malchus, and I've touched upon this the past few weeks, but now we really, really have to go full force into the Inyan of Malchus. If you want to understand Malchus de Rekia, what Malchus means in its higher spiritual state, we have to look at Malchus de Rekia. Malchus de Ara. Not Malchus de Rekia. Malchus de Ara, which means we have to look at Malchus and how Malchus functions. How does royalty or kingship function in this world? Malchus de Ara. How does that work? So we understand that the melech, the position, the role of the king, is to take all the separate members or separate subjects of his kingdom, who on their own are incapable of being creative and productive as far as how they really can be, because on their own, you don't have a police, you don't have a fire department, you don't have a government, you can't have an economy. You have Isha Sra'ehu, you have each one swallowing up the other. Each one is trying to establish his own little malchus, which is clashing with all the other malchios, and you can't really have a malchus. The job of the king is to take all the separate ones and to give them direction and purpose, to create a certain national cohesiveness, a unity, a dream, a goal, a language, culture, and so on. Which is what the Rambam means when he writes in Hilchos Melachim, Shelibahu Leiv Kol Kahal Yisrael, that the heart of the king is the heart of the entire Jewish people. Shdavra Melech. Shelibahu Leiv Kol Kahal Yisrael, that the heart of the king is the heart of the entire Jewish people. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, this is defined as Hu Shetzivonu Limnos Aleinu Melech, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, that Hashem has commanded us to appoint a king, and the job of the king, the Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Yikabetz Kol Umaseinu V'Yanhigenu. The main purpose of the king is to gather all Jews together in Eretz Yisrael. Again, it doesn't mean that they all have to come to Yerushalayim or they have to come to his palace. But it means he joins them together with a common purpose, a common goal, which is observance of Hashem's Torah. That is the job of the Melech. That's what Malchus means. Taking that which is separate, diffused, fragmented, and rallying it all around one center point. That's Malchus, that's the number 10. That's the Asiri, that's the Kedusha, the holiness and the sanctity of that position of Malchus. And this is what the Maharal meant, and this is what he means throughout his writings when he speaks about the Melech as the one who has the ability to be Machzik es HaSeder, to maintain order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, there's no Seder, there's no order. Each has its own way. But the job of the Melech is to establish order. Shahamelech hu ha'am, v'ha'am hu ha'melech, the Maharal writes. Because the king is the nation, and the nation is the king. His heart is the heart of the entire nation. David HaMelech revealed Tehillim to the world, and every single Jew, till the arrival of David Malki Mashiach, can find his heart in Tehillim. Because David HaMelech addressed the heart of each and every Jew. He was in the Shema Klalis. That's Malchus. David HaMelech is the one who has within him all the pieces. And therefore, David HaMelech, Malchus, has the ability to feel the pulse of the nation and to take that which is separate and broken and sebrochen and to bring it to a point of unity, of oneness, clarity of purpose, and Kedusha. And that is the simple pshat in the pasuk that we all know since we're little children, Vayehi B'Yishur and Melech. When is there a Melech within the Jewish people? What does that mean, Vayehi B'Yishur and Melech? B'Sa'asef Roishe Am Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. That's the job of the king. B'Sa'asef Roishe Am. He joins together the people, Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. This is very difficult, especially when it comes to Jews, because the nature of a Jew, we'll talk about this much more in the coming weeks, is that each and every Jew on his own is a Ben Melech, is royal. Everyone's a Ben Melech, everyone's a Bas Melech. Therefore, on some level, each Jew feels that he should be a Melech, he should be ruling over others. And, you know, there's truth to it. That Malchus of each Jew is a Malchus of Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, which means that each one of us on our own really is a Malchus. The problem is that instead of ruling over others, we should be concerned with ruling over ourselves and bringing together all the different parts, the eyes, the ears, the heart, the feet, that everything should all move in one direction of serving Hashem. Unfortunately, many people like to exercise this power of malchus over others, but not over themselves. It's much easier to be a tyrant over others than to rule over yourself. And everybody here knows that. When Alexander the Great returned from conquering Persia, most of the Eastern world, when he returned and he met Shimon HaTzadik, so Shimon HaTzadik said to him, "I'm very impressed, but let's see now if you can rule over your own home, your own affairs." Because he might be the emperor of the world, but when he'd get home, he would get a mishaberach. "Where were you? You weren't on time. I prepared supper for you," and so on. And so much for the entire malchus. There are many malachim at work every day. When they come home, they find that the malchus is not what they thought it was. So on the one hand, really, every Jew is a world. B'shvili nivra ha'olam. The whole world is worth creating just for a Jew. On the other hand, there's a nation of amamleches kahanim. We just read amamleches kahanim v'goy kodesh. There's a people, and everyone is a melech. And the job of the melech is to take all these little malachim, all these little kings and queens, and to bring them into one world of the malchus of amleches kahanim v'goy kodesh, to remind them of where they're going, of where they're heading. As we've been talking about the last few weeks, malchus, direction, purpose, goal. The light of the Shabbos came. So this is not easy, to gather together all the malchios to form one cohesive malchus. This is the meaning of Vayhi B'shoen Malach. Only when B'hisasev Rosh Hayam Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. Let's understand this on a very simple level. I saw this in a sefer some time ago, and I thought that it's a wonderful way of understanding this concept. Everybody knows about gematria. Some people take it more seriously than others. Gematria should definitely be taken seriously. It was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. It's one of the ways of understanding Torah. It's a very serious matter. Of course, like other things in Torah, it's often abused and misused and so on. But gematria is a very, very holy thing. Now, those of you who are familiar with gematria, in other words, calculating the numerical value of words and revealing and doing that, revealing the deeper concept that's there, those of you that are familiar with gematria know there's something called Mispar HaKolel. Mispar HaKolel is very much misunderstood. What does that mean? Sometimes you'll be all excited. There's a gematria. There's something that looks like it's going to work out, but it's just missing a number, right? So you wanted to see the chasen and kala, and you wanted to give some talk for shever brachas. Although there are old friends of mine, I always mention this. Remember when they by the shever brachas? So there's this friend that I have who was who's a bit of a light. So he was asked to give a drosha by the shever brachas of our mutual friends. So the name of the so he got up and this is all that he said. He said, "Well, the chassan's name is Aaron, and the kala's name is Ahava." And he said the gematria of each name. He says, "We learned from here that Aaron wins." That was the whole thing. And that was the gematria is more, therefore he wins. Thank you. That was the drosha. Now, when you have a gematria that is one short, so then there's something that's called Mispar HaKolel that comes to the rescue. What does that mean? It means that we also add one number for the word itself. We add one number for the word itself. So let's say Zahava, 7 and 5 is 12, and Beis is 14, and another 5 is 19. So with the Mispar HaKolel, it's what? 20. We add one more for the name Zahava. That's called Mispar HaKolel. So, that must bring back memories of Zion. I don't know what that was, but okay, good. So that's the Mispar HaKolel. That's called the number that is added. But the word itself, kolel, of course, means inclusive, the inclusive number. Now, people who do not understand what this means, when they look at this, they feel very disappointed. First of all, if it would really be a neat gematria, really, really something you'd be proud to say at the Shavuot Brachos, it would stim exactly. It should work out exactly. And then what is this business about adding one? Like, this seems like crazy. Adding one. It means, in other words, it's sort of like you came in second, and it's not really a gematria, and there's a mistake, so what do we do? So they came up with this nice, convenient thing to make things work out, so you add on one for the word itself. Chas v'shol, God forbid, the Mispar HaKolel comes to us from Chazal. Chazal, we're not joking about it. Mispar HaKolel, in the writings of the Arizal, is called Malchus. Now, what does that mean? The Mispar HaKolel. What's the Malchus of that number? So listen carefully. Let's take the word Shulchan, table. Okay, a shulchan, a table. Even before we actually add up the numerical value of the word shulchan, shilam chesnun, even before we add the numbers, the letters and the numbers, if we say that there are, we would look at the shulchan, we would say that there are five parts to a table. Usually there are four legs and the madaf, and the board on top, the table. That's what the table consists of. It consists of five parts. Really, that's not entirely accurate. It's really not true. That's not the entire picture. The emes, in truth, there are six parts. What does that mean? There are four legs, the top, and the table. Let me explain. Four legs, the top, and the table. So you're thinking, the four legs and the top, that equals table. No. Because the truth is that if you would have each one of these, let's say it's spread out on the dining room floor. There are four legs. It hasn't been built. There are four legs, and there's the top, the madaf, four legs on the top of the table, sitting on the dining room floor. So you have all of the pieces, but that's not called a table. If you would look at it, you would just say it's pieces of wood. Even though all the pieces are sitting right there. All the necessary pieces are sitting right there. That's not a table. The few times that I've tried to put things together, it never reached the point of Malchus. It never came to Malchus. It was always screws and bolts, pieces of metal, but it never came out to the barbecue. That's Malchus, right? That's Malchus. When the pieces are brought together, the four legs and the top are brought together in that way, then we have something new. Something new. It's not just holding together. How would it be nice to invite people for Shabbos and say, please come to my dining room, we're going to have lunch. And they walk in and they see four legs spread out on the dining room and a piece of wood up against the wall. You say, hey, make yourself comfortable, we're bringing out the first course. There's no shulchan. There's no table. There's some total of the parts. You have all the parts, but that's not called a shulchan. That's not called a table. It's a potential table. It's like everything in the house before the candles are lit, before Shabbos. It's what we were talking about last week. It's all the different things that are going on. But without the focus, without direction, without one purpose, one goal, without unity, without clarity, without cohesiveness. Therefore, in the gematria of Shulchan, so you have the Shin Lam Ches Nun, the gematria equals 388. Right, the Shin Lam Ches Nun, the gematria equals 388. The Shin is 300, the Lamed is 30, the Ches is 8, and the Nun is 50. So we have 388. Those letters, Rabbi Isai, equal 388, even if they're not a table. You know that? A Shin always equals 300. The Lamed always equals 30, and the Ches always equals 8, and the Nun always equals 50. Even if it's not a table. Those letters always equal 388. It could be there's a Shin over here in the dining room, and there's a Lamed in the kitchen, and there's a Ches upstairs, there's a Nun in the basement. And the Shin is 300, and the Lamed is 30, and the Ches is 8, and the Nun is 50. It's 388, all the pieces. But the word Shulchan, which means a table, which creates something new, a new reality, even though it's physical, it really has spiritual form. It means something. The Shulchan means something. Now you have Shabbos and Mizbeach, a Jew eats at his table, it's called a table. And that Shulchan, now, we count the word Shulchan in the Gematria as the Mispar HaKolel. We have 388, that's Shin Lam Ches Nun, and then we add one, which is the table itself. That is the meaning of the Mispar HaKolel. Because Kolel means inclusive. It means joining everything together. The pieces are no longer separate pieces. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now we're entering into the realm of the 10th, or in the lower sphere is the Malchus, which is 7, which is Shabbos. Therefore, the new reality of this word, that Shulchan, that means a table, is 389. Not 388. It's 389. This reality is 389. Shulchan. And that's why, in the Kisvei Ha'ari, this type of gematria is called Malchus. It is not a lower gematria. It is an exalted form of a gematria. And this is the meaning of, this is the meaning of Malchus, where each one on its own, each one separately on its own, doesn't have really an identity other than being a piece. And then there's something, there's a Mida El Yoina, there's some remarkable Mida that's called Malchus, that's called the king, that's called royalty, that's called Shabbos, that's called the mother, the wife, the woman, that Mida of Malchus, which takes the separate points and creates something new out of the separate points, as we've been talking about these last few weeks. So now it's not just a piece of meat, it's Shabbos. It's not just some material. It's little Rivkala's Shabbos dress, and so on and so forth. It's not just $50, $100, or $1,000. It means what the candlesticks. It means all the separate items that have no unity, that have no direction, that have no relationship, are drawn into the world of Shabbos, of Malchus, of Shabbos Malkasa. This is the job of the king. And then as a result of that, all the individual pieces are now lifted up to a much, much higher level. It's a shulchan. It's not a piece of wood and some legs. It's not a salary. It's not some food. It's not a bunch of kids that are just fun to have around. It's what? It's a Malchus. Means that the children, the food, the money, the love between a husband and wife, but in a mishpacha, all of it is on the way to Yerushalayim, as we were talking about last week. Everything now is joined together for one goal, one purpose. Mi'iras einav mamidos aragmav. And now it has a different name. It's not called anymore just food. It's not called a couch, a table. It's not called a house. It's not called any of these things, although it is all of those things. It has a new name. It's called Shabbos. It's called Malchus. Shabbos Malchus. It's a new thing. It's different. Everything is different. Everything tastes different because everything tastes of Malchus. That's the Keser Melucha. When you put the four legs together with the top and they're screwed together, when you put in that last screw to make it into a table, that's the Keser Melucha. That is the crown. And that crown is called the table. And that's Eishes Chayil Ateres Baal. That's the meaning of the Jewish woman. That's the meaning of the home that we've been talking about these past few weeks. On a national scale, let's go out of the house a little bit and talk about our people as a people. Rav Yosef Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, Na'ala Tshuva, discusses the nature of Knesset Yisrael. Those who have studied his writings, his teachings, know that it's one of the most remarkable blends of halacha and machshava imaginable. So Rav Yosef explains Na'ala Tshuva that in halacha, there of course is a concept that you're familiar with. It's called Korban Tzibur, a communal offering to the Beis HaMikdash. It's Shabbos Kolam. We're coming to Shabbos Kolam, right? Masa Shekel. So there's a communal offering, the Korban Tzibur, Tmidin, Musafin, the Seir HaMishtaleach. Many sacrifices fall into this category of a Korban Tzibur, a communal sacrifice that's brought on behalf of the Jewish people. And Rabbi Yosheber explains that it has to be very clear that a Korban Tzibur does not mean a sacrifice that's brought by many people. That's not what it means. There is a term for a sacrifice where many people contribute to the sacrifice, and a part of that's called a Korban HaShutfim. That's called a sacrifice in partnership. There are partners. That's called Korban HaShutfim, when a couple of people get together to buy a Korban. That's not Korban HaTzibur. Not only is that not Korban HaTzibur, the Rambam teaches, that even if you would have every Jew in the world chip in, every Jew in the world chips in. And we would have this Korban that would be bought by the collection of all the contributions of every single Jew in the world, that would not be a Korban Tzibur, even though every Jew in the world participated and put in his 2 cents. That still would not be a Korban Tzibur. It would not be a communal offering. It would be a Korban of Shutfim, of partners. And there are different halachas entirely, which we're not going to go into right now. It's a completely different ballgame. Korban HaTzibur, a Korban Tzibur, and Korban HaShutfim. Different halachas. Even if every Jew gives his money, it means that we now have a few million bailim. That would mean that this Korban has a few million owners in the Korban HaShutfim. It means that it has a few million owners. A Korban Tzibur, Rabbi Yisai, has one owner. Who is the one owner of the Korban Tzibur? No? Malchus Yisrael. Klolius Knesset Yisrael. The Jewish people. There's only one bailim. There's one owner to the Korban Tzibur. Klolius Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, as a people. That's Malchus. What does that mean? Malchus we see from this din, as Rav Soloveitchik explains. Malchus is not the mathematical total of such and such many individuals, of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. That's not what Malchus means. That's not what a tzibur is. What's a tzibur? What's Knesset Yisrael? What's Malchus Yisrael? Malchus Yisrael he describes as a reality, a composite reality, a single personality in its own right. It's not Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. It's a new thing. It's a new reality called Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, a tzibur. Just like nine individual Jews is not the same thing as a minyan. Tefillah b'tzibur is different than nine people davening. Or it's not 10 people davening, it's not a million people davening. There's something different about tefillah b'tzibur. It has a different power, it has a different effect when there's a minyan, when there's 10. This has a halachic legal personality, Rabbi Yosher Ber explains. So neither Reuven or Shimon or Levi, now each of these are wonderful Jews, and each one gave a machzah shekel. Each one gave a half shekel towards buying the carbon, but Reuven is not considered to be any part of an owner, an individual owner. Shimon is not an individual owner, and Levi is not an individual, even though each one gave his half shekel. Each one is not an individual owner. Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, is the owner of the carbon tzibur. And that's a new independent body in its own right. And it's not just a cumulative total of all the individuals who have contributed. It's something different. It's what the Maharal was talking about when you reach the number 10. That's what happens. There's a new reality that's called the tzibur. It's when you have a bunch of different people. You have Moshe and Sarah and Rivka and Beryl and Shmerel and so on. And each one is his own world. Then you have something else that's called a family. A family is a different sugya. It's not the same thing as five Jews or six Jews or seven Jews or three Jews. It's something different. A mishpach is something different. And that malchus of the home takes these separate individuals. Each one in his or her own way is not just contributing as a separate piece of this reality, but creates a new reality that's called a mishpacha. It's the same thing when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people own Eretz Yisrael. It has nothing to do with the United Nations or Arafat. It has nothing to do with Sharon or Shamir. It has nothing to do with any individual person on earth. Knesset Yisrael, Malchus Yisrael, owns Eretz Yisrael. It does not mean that you or I, as individual people, have a claim to a piece, although there is something in the Rambam that he calls the Gaonim, such a concept, but it's not an identifiable piece, and the Rambam doesn't rule like that, l'halacha. It's not an identifiable piece. No individual Jew owns Eretz Yisrael, even if he signed the papers and he has a deed. Eretz Yisrael is the kinyan of Klolius Knesset Yisrael. It's owned by the Jewish people as a malchus. Therefore, and this is something which is painful for many people to hear. Therefore, any Jew who is detached from the Jewish people because he refuses to live according to the Torah of our people, who does not believe in Malchus Yisrael, in David HaMelech, in Moshe Rabbeinu, in Maamar HaSinai, really in truth has no shaychus to Eretz Yisrael. He cannot have any acquisition of Eretz Yisrael. You can only have a piece of the land if you're part of the people, because no individual owns any piece. Klal Yisrael does. And if you're a Jew who, God forbid, has turned your back on Klal Yisrael, whatever that means, I'm not getting to any halachic definition. It doesn't necessarily mean someone who doesn't, if he doesn't know, it might not be his fault. I'm not talking about any of those things right now. But assume a person who has knowingly rejected the Jewish people, who has converted, who's turned away from us, who's not part of us, who doesn't want to share in our destiny, but he would like to have a piece of the land. It can't be, because there is no individual Jew that could have a piece. And if an individual Jew is given a piece, it's only because he is part of Knesset Yisrael. And since he's a member of the Malchus is divided amongst all the subjects. This is the meaning of a family. This is the meaning of a kehila, of a community. This is the meaning of a tzibur. And this is what it means to believe in the Jewish people. And Rabbi Yosher Ber explains here a remarkable thing. I mean, that whole maimer from Rav Soloveitchik is really amazing because it deals with Yom Kippur and different levels of atonement, of kapara on Yom Kippur. But we're not going to go into that now. The kapara of the individual, the atonement of the individual in Yom Kippur, and the atonement of the individual Jew as a member of Malchus Yisrael. There's an atonement that the Jewish people achieve as a people, even if the individual has not succeeded in doing tshuva. The Rambam says in the seventh chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, "Ukvar hifticha Torah shesof Yisrael lasas tshuva b'soif galusan umiyad hein negolan." The Rambam writes, and when the Rambam writes, it's lahalacha. The Rambam writes that the Torah has promised that ultimately the Jewish people will return to Hashem and will be immediately redeemed. That we must do tshuva. So everybody's thinking, what does that mean? What if it happened to free choice? What if, God forbid, all the Jews get together and they say, we're not doing tshuva. So there. But the Rambam writes, that the Torah has already promised that ultimately the Jewish people are going to do tshuva, umiyad hein nigolim. So Rav Soloveitchik explains that this is not a promise to any individual Jew. This is something that no human mind can understand. There is no guarantee that any individual person will change. There is no guarantee that any individual person will be worthy of redemption. That's your own parasha. That's a matter of your own choice. There is no guarantee when it comes to the individual person. This promise is a promise that has been made to Malchus Yisrael, to the Jewish people, to the Shulchan, to the table. Not to the Shin Lamed Ches Nun. The Shin might not have redemption. The Lamed might not be redeemed. The Ches might be stuck someplace in the corner. The four legs might be in different four corners of the world. The top of the table might be somewhere in Indonesia. But the Shulchan is going to be redeemed. The Koilo, the Mizbeach HaKoilo, the Jewish people as Malchus Yisrael as a people, will never be wiped out, ever. Not physically. We will not be wiped out by assimilation, God forbid. Even though every statistic could say, when you look at the statistics, they say, you know, based upon these statistics, the Jewish people will cease to exist by the year 2026. Every statistician that ever lived has died a long time ago. And all of the nation, and any nation he came from is long gone. And the Jewish people who are supposed to be statistically dead thousands of years ago are still here. And nobody understands that Malchus Yisrael, that this new reality, this composite new thing that's called Ten, that's called Malchus, that's something amazing, that has a king, that's the world of David Melech, that's a Jew who keeps Shabbos, a Jew with a home, a family, where the Shabbos candles are lit. Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, can never be destroyed. Not physically, not chas v'sholom, through assimilation. Although, tragically, there are countless individuals. Maybe why don't you come sit down there? It's their seats. Come sit down. There are countless individuals who have unfortunately wandered away. Who unfortunately have wandered away, and we miss them terribly. And we wait for them to come home. And some of them can't be identified anymore as Jews. But the Rambam paskin lahalacha. And this is the halacha of the Torah. And this is the halacha that ultimately be fulfilled. Sof Yisrael lasas tshuva. That the Jewish people will ultimately return to Hashem and be redeemed. No matter how far we've strayed, no matter how many individuals have disappeared, Hashem Yirachem, Malchus Yisrael will remain intact, and will be restored to her previous glory, just like the moon will be restored to her previous glory, just like the malchus of the woman will be restored to its previous glory. And this is what Rabbi Yoshua Ben wrote. Listen to this sentence from the translation of Al Tshuva. If you have the English translation, it's page 125 in Al Tshuva. It's much nicer in Hebrew, but it's easier to understand in English. The Jew who believes in Knesset Yisrael, only the Jew who believes in Knesset Yisrael, he says, may partake. I'm sorry, the Jew who believes in Knesset Yisrael is the Jew who lives as part of it, wherever it is, and is willing to give his life for it, feels its pain, rejoices with it, fights in its wars, groans at its defeats, and celebrates its victories. The Jew who believes in Knesset Yisrael is a Jew who binds himself with inseparable bonds, not only to the people of Israel of his own generation, but to the community of Yisrael throughout the ages. How so? There's only one way. Not because you buy Israel bonds. Not because you say a couple of Yiddish words. Through the Torah which embodies the spirit and the destiny of Yisrael from generation to generation unto eternity. That's what Rabbi Yoshua Ben wrote. That means that there's an inyan of believing in Knesset Yisrael. Do you know how many times it's easy to get depressed? Sometimes it sounds as if Jews use lashonis that belong to anti-Semites. This Jew did this, this person did that. You know, I went to this store and I saw this Jew who did this, and that person did that, and yeah. There's something that's called belief in Malchus Yisrael. That's what the Rambam's talking about. That's what Rabbi Yoshua Ben is talking about. That means even though there's disappointment in individual Jews, there's never ever disappointment in the grandeur and the royalty of our people. Even though as individuals we're wounded, we're limping, as long as you believe in Knesset Yisrael, as long as you believe in the family, you believe in Shabbos, you believe in that new reality, that there's something transcendent about our people. There's something different. It's the Shulchan, it's not Shin Lamed Ches Nun, it's true. As a Shin Lamed Ches Nun, there are Jews who are really, really, who are really off. And Jews as individuals who cause us to feel embarrassed and upset. And we ourselves are responsible often for things like that. To believe in Malchus Yisrael, it's a different madrega. That's the madrega of the woman who lights the candles. The belief that a mother has in her family is something which goes way beyond the faults, the virtues of any of the children. It's from a different place. It's from a place that's called Malchus. Shabbos believes in every Jew. Shabbos believes in each and every one of us. No matter what we did during the week, Shabbos welcomes us and says, come back to the truth, come back to reality, come back to Mi'iras Einov, Umabidoso, Araglov, come back to that, to the Tachlis, where all the separate points that were incoherent and broken return home. It's no longer Reuven and Shimon. Shabbos is a different reality. It's no longer this person and that person. Each person on his or her own feels lost. Each person on his or her own says, what am I? I did this during the week, I did that. I'm Amish, nobody, I'm worthless. I'm worse than worthless, God forbid. As Reuven and Shimon, as Sarah and Rivka, I'm Amish, nobody. When a Jew understands the meaning of Malchus, and what Malchus means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our king. And that means that it's no longer, you're no longer just Reuven and Shimon. And if we understood this, that's what the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said. The Baal Shem Tov said that if a Jew would know with all of his heart that he's a Ben Melech and that she's a Bas Melech, then a Jew would never ever sin. Would never sin. It wouldn't be possible. Every Jew has the name of Hashem in his name. Every Jew. Ayid. A Yehudi. A Yehudi means the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, the letters of Hashem's name. V'shimcha ha-godl v'ha-kodosh aleinu karasa. V'shimcha ha-godl v'ha-kodosh aleinu karasa means that as Moshe's, Sarah's, Rivka's, Bela's, Chana's, Yankel, you could be destroyed, God forbid. But if you lift yourself up to that madrega of a Yid, of a Jew, Behemoth, of a Yehudi, then Shimcha HaGadol V'HaKadosh Aleinu Karasa is something different. A Yid is something different. The Gemara says, HaSoiter Layoish L'Yisrael, if somebody, God forbid, slaps a Jew, if somebody slaps a Jew across the face, Ki'ilu Soiter Layoish L'Shechina, you should know, we tell any anti-Semite, that if you slap the face of a Jew, it's ki'ilu, you're slapping the face of the Shechina herself, of the mother, of the Shechina, of Malchus. You're not slapping an individual Jew. You are slapping the divine presence in this world, and you're going to pay dearly for that. You're going to pay for that. Every Jew, every Yehudi, every Yid is Shimcha HaGadol V'HaKadosh Aleinu Karasa. It's no longer just a Jew. He has the Shem HaShem Amish in him and on him, upon him. Shem HaShem Nikra Alecha. And the Dalet, which means four, which is separation and confusion. And it's included in the holy name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, in the name Yehuda, which is why we're called Yehudim. From the name Yehuda, which is Malchus. Malchus Yehuda, Malchus Tavra Melech. And every single Jew has in him the entire Malchus. Just like every part of the table is a table. If you live that way as a Yid, if you live the way Rav Soloveitchik is saying, you cry with the Jewish people. You rejoice with the Jewish people. When Jews are dancing, you want to dance with them. When they're crying, you put your arm around a Jew. If you live a life of Shabbos, if you live a life of Malchus, so then you're not just Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. You're not just Sarif, Karach, Aleya. Is the Shimcha HaGodl V'HaKadosh Aleinu Karasa, you're not a Shutif, you're not a partner, you're not one in a million, because there's one in a million, you don't mean anything. You are everything and everybody, just like the table of the leg is the whole table. Just like every molecule of the table is table dick. Every molecule is a Shulchan. Every piece of a Jew is a Jew. Every krech, every smile of a Jew is a Jew. When you say in the morning, Shalom Asani Goy, it means, Rabbi Shalom, help me, that I should be a Jew in everything that I do. Really, a Yid. What it means to be a Yid. And this is the meaning of the Malchus that we spoke about last week, that the Malchus is poor, is humble. It means that I don't have my own separate existence. I am a part of this remarkable new thing that's called Malchus, that comes from the world of ten, which is the tenth, which is Shabbos, which is seven, from the lower spheres, which is Malchus, which is Yerushalayim. Therefore, when it comes to Shabbos, you know, Shabbos, you don't have to have Panim Chadashos by Shavuot Brachos, right? Because Shabbos, I'm sure there's a discussion, but by Friday night and Shabbos morning, you don't need to have a new person by Shavuot Brachos. Why? Panim Chadashos Bo Lekan. Because Shabbos is Panim Chadashos. And we spoke about that. Shabbos is Panim Chadashos, so when we spoke about that weeks ago, Mr. Lubavitch Rebbe said that a Yid is not under a Yid. It means that every Jew is a Panim Chadashos on Shabbos, right? Because during the week, you're Reuven, this one is Leah. This one is Shimon, and Shimon's got so many problems. And Reuven's got this, and Leah's got that. And each one is Tzibroch, and each one's running to a different place. Each one has a different purpose, a different goal, a different dream, a different life. And even one family, everybody's doing something else. Everybody's thinking of something else. Friday night, the Queen, the Malchus, Malka lights candles. And then the light shines, and everybody looks at each other and says, Rabbi Shalom, what were we thinking? We out of our minds? We forgot? Ato echad v'shimcha echad. Shabbos is panim chadashos, because just like the shulchan is panim chadashos, I have four legs and a top. When I put them together, oh, panim chadashos ba'olakan. It's a different thing. It's panim chadashos. Shabbos is panim chadashos. The same Jew is not just, he's not a separate piece. It's a Jew, and it means all Klal Yisrael. It's not a piece. It's a shulchan. It's malchus. It's a different metzias. And the person reaches a different metzias. But on Shabbos Shkolin, Machsa Shekel, the half shekel, which Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand, what does it mean? Hashem showed him a beshalayish, a fiery coin, whatever that means. All the Svarim tell us this, that the reason normally the Torah likes to deal with holes, because especially when you're serving Hashem, especially when you're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, means that we try to do something in a beautiful way. You don't bring a carbon that's blemished, that's missing a piece. But when it comes to what? To this carbon seber, when it comes to rather that Machsa Shekel to create the Tzibur Yisrael that brings the Karbonis of the Tzibur, is Davka Machsa Shekel a modern thing? It's a half a shekel. So all the Tzaddikim explain. Sfas Emes, the Kozhen Tzemagid, Mizritcha Magid, Balatanya, Rabbi Nachman, all the Svarim explain. The Machsa is that I'm only here for that another Jew. I'm only here for that my wife. I'm only here for that my friend. I'm only a half of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm only a half. But when the machsios come together, and that's what fire does, you know. Fire has a way of melting the two halves and making them into a whole. That's what fire does. That's the fiery coin. But then we have a new thing, something new. It's called a malchus. When one Jew joins with another Jew, it's called a malchus. And Haman tried to destroy us because he said, "Yesh no ha'am echad mufuzum afraid ben ha'amim." The lashna bisha, the lashna hara of Haman was horrible. Haman looked at the Jewish people and he said that they are divided and separated, dispersed. There's nobody like them. They're all running in a million directions. They can't get along with each other. Look what's going on with the Jewish people: Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, Chassidim, Misnagdim, Galatians and Polishes and Taimanim. Look what's going on with them. This is the Lashon Hara of Haman. And he waged Shkolim to destroy our people. And Chazal say that the half a shekel preempted Haman, right? The half shekel preempts the attack of Haman. Because that's Malchus Yisrael. Malchus Yisrael means I don't have a separate identity. I only have an identity. I mean, I have a separate, of course I have my own separate identity. But that's only a tiny piece. It's a broken little piece. It's a machsis. Who am I really? I'm a Yid. I'm a Yid. I might be living in Brooklyn. I might be living in Queens. But I'm really in Yerushalayim. I'm really a Yerushalmi. I might be sitting in a classroom in college someplace. But I'm about to come into the Beis HaMikdash. I'm facing the Kodesh Kadosh. We're all facing the same place. We're all going the same way. You know, we have amazing stories from the Rishna. I'm going to tell you a story and I'm not going to explain it. And because of that, it's going to sound very odd. Okay, that's all right. The Rishna didn't explain it when he said it. Somebody once complained to the Rishna, "How come we don't see by you any great miracles? We don't see by you such great miracles like we see by other Rebbes." Other Rebbes, there's a lot, you know, it's cooler. There's stuff going on. But you know, it's tiring. We're looking for something more exciting. Right? You know, people like the Americans in Israel, they go to visit Rebbes. If you have a Rebbe just says Torah and Good Shabbos, that's not really much of a show. Everybody's looking for something, you know, different. So this year complained to the Rishna. The Rishna said a very deep thing to him. The Rishna said there are different madrigas, and one of the earliest levels is called the world, the oilam, or the heichel of moivsim, of miracles. And then the tzaddik goes beyond and higher, beyond that. When I was a child, I was a miracle worker, but I matured beyond that. So now I no longer need to use miracles. That's what the Rishna said. And he told this person, when I was 6 years old, I was a very playful child. There was a Jew who came to my father, the Holy Rebbe of Sholem, because his wife was in labor for a long time. And you know, in those days, that in many cases spelled death for the mother and the child. So this man's wife was going through a terrible, prolonged labor, and they brought her to the, and the husband went to the to my father, the Mishnah said, went to my father, Abshalom. And Abshalom said, I can't help you, go to Yisraelka. Go to my son, that's me, he said. Now at the time I was 6 years old, I was playing with my friends, and this man came running and screaming that he's having problems, and I said, can't you see that I'm busy, I'm in the middle of a game. And what was the game? It's an interesting game that they had a hat on the floor, and they had hazelnuts, and there was like inside the thing, and they're throwing a hazelnut into the, each one throws one, and knocks out a couple. If it comes out to be an even number, then you get to keep them. If it comes out an odd number, then you have to put more into the pot. So the Mishnah said that this Yid comes screaming that he's having tzaros, and so I was standing there, it was my turn, I was holding the hazelnut, and he was annoying me by his crying. The Mishnah said this. So I asked him, Yid, what is it? What do you want? So he said, I have a problem. He says, hold on a second, you have a problem? Let me just finish, let me just do this shot. I should show you. The Mishnah said this himself. He throws the nut in, and two come out, and the Mishnah turns to him and says, Mazel Tov. At that second, somebody came running and said that your wife gave birth to twins. The Vishnu said, when it came out the two, the Vishnu said, it's a pair, Mazel Tov. He says, that's when I was 6 years old, but I've outgrown all of that stuff. That mice is everything that we're talking about tonight. We should be zarchim as Hashem to see the completion of the game. We should be zarchim to see the Gilui Malchus Hashem. Okay. Next week, we'll continue talking about Malchus, and specifically, we're going to start to enter into the world of Purim and Mechias HaMalek, and how that connects to the Malchus, which is against the Malchus of Hashem. We should be zarchim to see the Malchus, the Rekia, over here in this world, connecting to Malchus, the Ara, with Bias Gold, Tzedek, Mehemi, Amen, Amen, Amen.